The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. I have altered the terms of our pact. Pray do not alter it any further.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again. That means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
Brian.
Rob.
And Joe.
The Conqueror.
Well, don't worry, guys, because Cole reigns. Cole rules. Cole rocks.
Did he do any of those?
Courage conquers all for the son of Conan and Cole the Conqueror from 1997.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We just threw that in as a tagline because...
Because what?
I'm sorry?
Say again?
Because...
Could you repeat that one more time?
I don't think I can.
For Rich? For William? Do it for William.
The third time it was funnier somehow.
It was.
The rule of threes, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Somebody teach Family Guy that.
Oh. Also know when to stop. So this movie was
the rule of threes. To us. Stop at the third season.
By John Nicolella.
Nicolella.
I'm in floppy mode now. Excuse me. He is the auteur that brought us many wonderful things to TV, such as Miami Vice, Crime Story, The Finish Line, Rock Hudson, Super Force, Melrose Place, and of course, Mantis.
I like Mantis, yo. I like Mantis.
Mantis.
I gotta be honest. Like, I remember Mantis, but I don't remember Mantis.
I like Mantis.
Other than Miami Vice in Melrose Place, I don't really remember any of those.
Mantis was the smart black dude who was in the wheelchair who made a mech suit for himself to wear, like armor, power armor, that he could like run around and fight crime and shit in.
I am interested in that.
Yeah, oh,
No. I mean, yeah. Like, it's better on paper than it is in action.
What I remember, like, that show was always on, it was either on at a really weird time or it was always on when something else I wanted to watch more was
on. It was on the same time as Dark Angel. The same channel, one was after the other.
So it must have been on at the same time something else was on that actually.
It also, I believe, followed around X-Files at one point.
Maybe. There you go.
Yeah, I think it might have taken over when X-Files moved from Friday to Sunday or something.
That was my shit. I watched Dark Angel, I watched Mantis, yo, that was my shit. Like, fuck all y'all.
I liked Mantis at the time, So
little came up that time.
All right. Anyway, that's enough about Mantis. We're not talking about Mantis today.
Wish we were.
I kind of do too.
When was the last time you saw Mantis, Brian?
Oh, long enough. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't it? Though?
Let's just say it has more in common with the cape than anything else.
So wait, so this is canon as being Conan's son?
Oh, no.
If you believe the tagline, yes. It's we'll get there. Let's start with, what's your history with this movie, Rob?
I saw this in theaters with part of the Dork Squad. I don't know which one.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there.
I don't think we were hanging out at this point. In 97, we weren't.
I believe Matt and John were in attendance for this one.
Ah, there you go.
By John's idea.
Probably. No, you know what? As hard as we are on that, man, I'm pretty sure this was all of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it probably was John's idea, but like, it's not like we were like, oh, fine. We were like, yeah, let's go.
No, we were. We were in our mid to late teens.
Oh, yeah.
I had a job and disposable income and would just see anything for any reason.
Yep.
John had a car, and granted that factored a lot into what we saw where we went. But I'm pretty sure we were all excited about this because we thought it was another Conan movie.
Yeah. All right. Brian.
I didn't see this until 5 years later on TV, and I was not impressed, and I never went back to it ever again.
Okay. Joe.
So, back to our friend John. so I know
sorry in advance, John.
That guy's
he don't listen.
you know, 33 gallons of terrible in a 13 gallon black hefty bag.
Wow.
But
wow.
That's fired.
He has his moments where he's a really good dude.
Why am I the mean one?
And one of them, I sometimes foray into mean stuff, especially when John's involved.
To be anyway, fair,
I'm trying to give him a compliment. I'm not doing a good job.
Wait,
at all.
If I could just interject for just a moment. To be fair, he has personal reasons to be mean to John. You are just mean to groups of whole people that you've never dealt with.
First of all, I have just as much reason to be mean to John as anyone in this
if
room.
If not more.
I didn't say John specifically. I mean you attack a lot more people for a lot less reasons.
I don't attack. I just point out.
Anyway.
Why is more? It's not an attack so much as he just blindly stumbles around and crashes into things.
Let Joe finish what he was trying to say.
So anyway, okay.
I'm going to let you finish.
So John, this is about when I first started hanging out with John. I was looking at his sword collection, as you do, and I noticed he had the sword that Cole uses in this movie. And I was like, that's a pretty stupid sword. Because it's so front heavy that you can't use it at all. Like, it's totally off balance. But anyway, so he's like, yeah, it's the one from the movie Cull. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of wanted to see that movie. And he was like, don't. So I did. So thank you, John. Fortunately, part of this podcast, I have to see many movies that I never wanted to.
We're expanding our horizons, Joe.
Yeah.
But John,
we're expanding them to places I don't want to
expand
go.
Our list with better movies. People call in and give us movie suggestions that we add to a list that are good.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, this movie's not good.
All right. Well, I will just add.
Spoiler alert, Brian doesn't speak for the whole group.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I will just add to Rob's point earlier. I did see this with him. But my main memory of this movie is listening to the soundtrack while we played Cruise in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wasn't the soundtrack to this movie just the soundtrack to Cruise in San Francisco?
Close enough.
Yeah. This is a good soundtrack to play GoldenEye, too.
Yeah, that too. But, like, I remember there was so many. There's one level where we're trying to find this hidden cave. So, like, to get us amped, we were playing, like, one of the rock songs from this. I can't remember which one anymore because they all sound the same now.
I'm not going to lie.
They all sounded the same then.
I still own this soundtrack on cassette.
Wait, this soundtrack?
This soundtrack.
Did this soundtrack have individual songs?
Yes.
Or was it just a blur of butt metal?
No, it was it was the same butt metal song over and over again.
I'm not going to lie. I have my iPod on me right now, and this is on there.
Fantastic.
So well, so it's kind of like a theme and variation sort of musical arrangement?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And as I was going to say before Tony so poignantly interrupted me, when you're an angsty teen.
Oh, this is perfect.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
When you're like, I'm going to draw something. I need some metal to get me to draw something.
I listen to Wu-Tang. That's what I listen to.
Nobody cares.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Brian, nobody wants
Wu-Tang
your...
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Nobody wants your...
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Street neighborhood music.
You know who fucked with Wu-Tang? I was just reading today about the Pharma Bro bought the only copy of one of Wu-Tang's albums. I don't know why there's only one copy of it. And kept it for his own personal use.
You know who almost fudged with Wu-Tang?
You know who's in jail right now?
Yeah, the Pharma Bro. He's a fucking Wu-Tang.
You know who almost fudged Wu-Tang? This guy. The same year this movie came out, as a matter of fact.
Was that one?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to hear that story, you pay money. You give us money.
Oh, Jesus. Now all it's right. Extortion for a bad story. All right, so.
We're putting features of this podcast behind paywalls now.
Pressing forward.
Ain't nothing free.
I like you pay money to something somewhere somehow.
Not we, cool yeah. Dumb stories. Not age and death witches. You pay.
You gotta pay.
Tony, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue. Say what you were gonna say.
All right. So yes, as we kind of brought up before, this has got a murky history. This was based on a series of books. For Cull the Conqueror. I believe this was a story that was called by My Axe I Rule, I think. Anybody?
So his last line of the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
That is why it's in there.
Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it's in there. That
you know, later the same writer of that started writing Conan and those series of books that later became series of movies. And this was supposed to be the third installment in those movies, but Arnold was having none of it. So he's like, fuck that.
It's like Red Sonja was the third installment of those movies.
For real, for real.
And that's as far as I'm going.
And that movie's not good. I mean, I love Red Sonja, don't get me wrong, but it's not a good movie.
No.
I'd watch it 1,000 times.
Well, yeah, speaking of watch that 1,000 times, I believe the original plot of this, the sorcerer they were resurrecting was supposed to be James Earl Jones, which would have been way better in some respects.
I don't know about the makeout parts.
No. Well, I'm sure there'd been a different ending, or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, for those of you interested, you can buy this Axe I Rule hoodie at Amazon.com for $26 to $41.
So, anyway, they rearranged some things to make this about Cole. Cole also was, as we kind of, I certainly brought up watching this, but.
No one was there but us.
Yeah. They don't know that. I'm about to get into it. Okay. Cull, the original story, was about this barbarian that had to fight these evil sorcerers and stuff. The lead one, the wizard in this movie, who just had a burnt face. In the movie, it was burnt to the fact where his face was a skull, and he's hanging around with some beast-like man.
You mean in the book?
Yeah, in the book, sorry.
He was played by Frank Langella.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That was the inspiration for He-Man. So... honestly, they should have just made this.
Wait, he was the inspiration for He-Man?
Yeah. Call. So He-Man the book, Call, inspired the guy to create He-Man. And
what?
Yeah.
Word
makes sense.
I mean, yeah, they make the characters, and after that, it was about money.
Mm-hmm. And it's debatable, because even as you might recall in this, Call, his sign is the tiger. He-Man rides a tiger.
Rawr.
Oh,
which was... I'm gonna find a picture of this tiger to put on the page.
Yeah, you should.
But it's
I'm gonna get it sewn.
I was having a good time.
To be fair, I'm sure you wouldn't have to go far to find the high school where that's the mascot hanging by their basketball.
That's someone's karate dojo.
I'm getting that sewn on the back of a denim vest.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I would wear that. I would honestly wear that.
Oh man, rawr.
So. All right. Anybody want to guess at how much? Oh, and sadly, this was Pat Roach's last film. We kind of skipped over him because we can't figure out who he was in this movie. But he's a previous alumni to this podcast because he played General Kale in Willow.
Oh, so he's probably the guy he fought on the boat that like shrugged off his attacks.
That's what I'm guessing.
Is that the guy that I thought looked familiar?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was General Kale. All right.
Okay.
We figured it out.
That's the thing. I was looking for a name, but I couldn't get it because who could follow this? All right. So does anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
This movie had to cost way more than it should have. Like, there's no way it didn't cost way more than it should have. So I'm going to say 1997, I'm going to say $65 million.
He was also in every Indiana Jones movie.
Yes. But we haven't done those yet.
Right. Almost. We almost did.
I'm going to say a Bud K catalog sword, a Bud K catalog battle axe.
And a Bud K catalog attitude.
Bud K catalog attitude.
And Bud K catalogs to make the scenery.
Is that was on QVC with the knife showcase? Was that those swords on that show?
Oh, they kept throwing the knives into the little
close enough. Well, but if that's not Bud K, that's close enough.
He tried to cut something with a sword and just cut his hand. Yeah.
I did not see that.
Oh, it's funny. Great. It's great.
Oh. And, some way overpriced special effects that probably were also ordered from a Bud K catalog. I would say, in general, I'm going to go with $55 million.
Give a real number. Cool. All right.
I'm going to also give a real number. I'm going to say $40 million. Oh. I don't have the...
It was $20 million.
Really? Wow. Okay. All right.
It shows, so don't be too surprised.
That makes me less mad about what I saw.
Me too.
So my actual answer then of like the Bud K catalog for everything. Okay.
It was too much. It was too high. They actually
that was too high. Yeah.
They actually watched the late night knife collector show, and they were watching those two rednecks keep throwing those tactical folder into the log.
Someone find the clip of that guy cutting his hand open and share it to the page. Someone find it.
Not right now, Rob. Stop. You want to guess at how much money this movie made?
$20 million.
A
Wait. I'm sorry, you said that at the same time.
Yeah.
Was that $21 million or $21?
We both said 20.
No, but I'll give a better answer than that. Right. I'll Joseph, you said 20 million.
I'll stick with the 20, I guess.
I'll say 20 million, 97 marketing alone. I'll say it probably made like $23 million. Not much, but they made some money, but not nothing.
I'm gonna keep it 40.
All right. This was hard to pin down because there's a bit of dispute, but we're looking around $7 million.
Seven.
Wow.
Oh.
Did he? Oh man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch. Oh, wow.
He probably couldn't even film an episode of Hercules for that.
They had to return those swords.
Oh, sorry. I'll save it for the end.
All right. Who had to return those swords? Joe, who's in this movie?
Made some alterations to your cast list.
Now so, says nobody.
Yeah. So we have Kevin Sorbo as Discount Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He-Man.
Tia Carrera as Akavisha.
Evil-Lyn.
Yep. You got Thomas Ian Griffin as Discount Sheriff of Nottingham. Lightfoot as Discount Rufio. Roy Brocksmith as Two. Harvey Fierstein as Juba. I changed the spelling of his name. Carita Lombard as Discount Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Sven Ole Thorsen as King Borna.
King Boring?
Yeah.
He was in it for all of 2 minutes.
That's what he does best, Rom. You know what happens when you give him a whole movie? He turns out to be Secundus.
Mm.
That's fair.
Oh, yo, King Borna, he was Discount Brian Blessed. There. The guy from Flash Gordon, the Hawkman.
Fair enough.
I think that guy is the Discount Sven Ole Thorsen.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
The Brian Blessed, he's been in a ton of really bad stuff.
Sven Ole Thorsen is like in every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Mm.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing is, in fact, he is the Discount Arnold Schwarzenegger because he followed Arnold Schwarzenegger's coattails for a long time.
Fair enough.
Picked up his scraps. Him and Jesse Ventura just eating those scraps. All right.
Just like us.
So, let's actually discuss what the hell happened in this movie. There's some text scroll explaining.
This text scroll is special.
Something.
Like, what pissed me off immediately is that Kevin Sorbo is reading his own text scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could have had a better narrator, someone who just sounds a little better.
$7 million. Or no, $20 million? $20 million.
Kevin Sorbo is the person that sounded the best. Like, beyond that, they're going to have Harvey do it?
That would have been way better. God, that would have set the scene for the rest of the movie. That would have been awesome.
Well, that's a totally different scene they're setting, though.
No, like, if it was Harvey, whatever his name is, had done that, I'd have been like, this is going to be ridiculous. I'm okay.
Yeah,
that
would have left. I wouldn't have made it through the story. Yeah. I can't do this.
If it starts with fire and we just hear a long time ago, I'd be like, nope, done.
I'd be like, I'd have sat my ass right there and watched for hilarity to ensue.
Harvey Fierstein relating the Scientologist doctrine.
Yeah,
like I couldn't sit there.
I'd be like, is this like one of those Wayans parody movies? Because
I've watched most of those, Tony.
Do I have to take a test when this
not
is
most
over?
Of them, yeah. Because they made way more than that.
Yeah.
So if I
a good chunk of them I've seen.
Yeah. If I were asked to attribute a production value to the opening text scroll, I would say about 90s infomercial about that production value.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, this text scroll, if you had changed, because the words that they had and like the pacing between each line, if you just said those were titles to songs and this was on a CD compilation.
Yeah,
actually, yeah, that's what it was.
Say,
yeah.
I was going to one up and be like, no, the 80s rock compilation. Yes.
Now that's it's now that's what I call metal.
Yeah, that's
volume
exactly,
call.
Exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it. So, trademark. That's ours. No one take that. That's ours. That's ours.
Okay, so speaking of which, this movie immediately jumps into like what you're in store for. It's just a bunch of guys fighting and the buttest of butt metal blasting over it.
This movie picks up like right where Beastmaster left off.
Yeah,
it kind of does. Like, I wonder if it was the same makeup studio, because some of the masks look very similar.
It could have been the same set.
It was not very long into this movie where before I asked, did we start this in the middle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this discussion's about how he came from Atlantis and he used to be a pirate and I don't even know what else. Like,
yeah, we're just like, what's going on here? He's fighting. So he's just fighting guys, and then the guy blows a horn, and everyone stops fighting.
Just before he cuts a guy's head off.
Yeah. And then, like, so this general's like, you think you could join my legion? The Dragon Legion? We gotta have a blindfolded burning sword fight.
Yeah, but I
mean, which is a terrible combination.
He's got the same backstory as the Princess Bride, though. Like, he's
pretty much, yeah.
That would make this movie better.
Is that two weeks in a row we've had a discount Cariolis?
No, but just imagine if it was him and like Princess Buttercup instead, and like that would have.
We do have a rodent of unusual size in this movie.
Yeah, like it's gonna be like an awkward sequel to.
But yeah, he's.
You could have had what's his name? The dude from that narrate the opening.
Basically, this guy like he beats Call in a blind
Columbo.
Columbo, yeah, Columbo. Sorry.
So sorry.
Basically, or the what's his name from the Wonder Years? There, Fred Savage. Either one of them. Yeah. Joe, what were you saying?
So basically, he beats Call in like a flaming blindfolded sword fight. So that means Call can't join the Dragon Legion. And in fairness, like Call, I'm pretty sure was not prepared for a flaming blindfolded sword fight.
I don't know how often those come up.
Also, yeah, why is that a thing you need to know how to do?
And how was he there? Why was he there?
But before any of that's explained, some guy comes over and is like, the king's throwing a tantrum and killing all his heirs.
Well, I appreciate it with this one. So, so this general guy is talking about how noble blood is so important, you gotta be noble, yada, yada, yada. And the next sentence is, hey, the king's killing all his heirs. I thought that was funny.
To be fair, he does well enough in this fight to pass, but when he finds out he's from Atlantis, he's like, oh, then fuck that, you're not noble, so you can't join, whatever that means.
What's not noble about being from Atlantis?
We don't know, because it's some other movie.
Yeah, that was in book volume 6 that we did not read.
He was like, oh, that's where Aquaman's from. No, never mind.
One thing, though, as shitty as medieval life was, the one cool thing, if you were not noble, is you had no obligation to fight for your lord at all. You're just like, okay, fine. You guys go off and fight each other.
Yeah, but also, like, they can kill you.
They could kill you. Yeah, there was plenty of other things that were bad. Cause.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does get a little quip about, you know, oh, such noble blood spilled all across the floor or whatever. But
I'm just going to follow you guys there.
Yeah, he just goes anyway for reasons.
I guess that's where the plot's going. I guess I got to go there too.
The king is Fenoly Thorson, and he's going mad, and he's just murdering everybody in his court.
Apparently. Dead kids on his floor.
Killed all his children.
His kids,
yeah.
I think he just realized that one day they'll replace him.
Yeah, that was it. That was
I mean, I was trying to understand what he was saying, but apparently he decided to mangle the English language before his family, so I...
he's trying to live up to Arnold's standards. I guess what I gathered from it is at least one of the kids was like, I'm going to take over the throne from you. So he killed him and then was just like, well, while I'm at it, just take them all out.
I can make more kids, I guess.
So now Cole's just like, don't do that. And he's like, okay, you can leave. Nope, cheap shot. And now him and Cole fight.
All his guards stand there. Yeah. Everyone... The general guy just stands there and watches.
Well, they didn't have any direction. Everyone is in the production is just confused right now.
They're floored by what's going on, I guess. But, like, this guy's attacking their king. Not only do they not do anything to stop it, this one guard just lets Cole take his sword from him and start fighting him. Like, you fucking ass.
Well, I was going to say, they're kind of like snakes. And when you play the rock music, they just get hypnotized and they can't move.
Mm. Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
I just want to point out, theme of this movie is, Call is not that badass. Everyone else in the movie just sucks.
Yep.
Basically, everyone just sucks. So, he stabs the king.
Yep.
And then suddenly just people show up. There's a guy, he looks like a shittier version of King Ainen. A sentence I thought I would say.
Literally, like, the next 15 minutes of the movie is just a who's who of ugly, strawberry-headed white people.
I think the real keywords there are who's who, because I couldn't follow half this shit.
They don't matter. Yeah,
there's a priest all of a sudden, and they're like, well, he killed the king, you know, he gets to be king. And like, that's not how that works. Yeah, the king's like, that is how it works. Here, have my crown.
Well, yeah, I said this before. It's like, if those of you out there
care. It's like when Optimus was trying to give Ultra Magnus the Matrix, and Rodimus was like, "No, me." It's and everybody in the audience is like, "No, that's wrong. Don't do it." But they did it anyway. It's the same thing.
Sure. So, yeah, the generals like give the crown to me. King Einan shows up. He's like, "No, that's my rightful crown." But yeah, the king's just like, "No, I'm alive enough for this. You get the king, or you get the crown, Kroll." Just too many
words.
Crows.
Words.
Yeah. So, put a crown in your crack and get the crap out. All right. So what? He's king now. I don't know. I'm losing it. He's king now by way of reasons. Sure. And everybody's got to bow to him. Yeah,
everyone's like, seems legit.
Yeah.
Well, the dead king said so, I guess.
Yeah,
sure, why not? I've never seen this guy before, but he's our king now. So he's just like starts messing around with their kingdom. He's like, you know, I'm going to let all these slaves free or whatever. Oh, because first he gets shown his harem.
He tries to get some first.
Yeah,
which, like you do.
He's like, servants, melt me some glass, melt me some sand. So this lady may put them on the glass. She's like, "No, not gonna."
She'll tell him reveal today. I wish I had more hands.
Four thumbs down. No, no. This milk is going sour.
I watched that yesterday.
Rick James, do something. Okay. Anyway.
Sorry.
So actually,
fresh my mind. Sorry.
If you factor in the tangents we've had, the amount of time we spent talking about these events is about the speed they went by.
Yeah.
Like, shit's going by real fast that you're like, can we stop and maybe explore what's happening here a
little
bit?
Yeah, no.
This is where we get really confused because he's talking to this. He's talking to this one girl who stood out to him in the crowd. She's a fortune teller, and he's like, "Oh, you read my cards before, and like you told me I'd be king by way of king or something." And we're just like, "Wait, what? Did we miss that? Like, that wasn't even in the opening scroll. What the hell happened here?"
I guess he's been here for a while.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
And then I guess he sexually assaulted her after that, and then that's the end of that story.
You know what? It, good point, Rob. This would have been a better setup if the scroll wasn't about this shitty kingdom and the shitty ancient whatever. If it was about, like, all right, we have Cole, and he comes from this land, and this is what happened to him, and now we find him here, and it's where our story picks up. Like, they just said that.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
Instead, I'm pretty sure the writers just went dumpster diving outside Bethesda, and were like, "Oh, yeah, we can use all this. Ashar Sharon and Kibbaloovul."
Is that the guy that got the special effects, too?
Yes.
So, anyway, yeah.
Bath time.
Tony just made himself laugh.
Because this is supposed to be the movie the end of the last Conan movie. He sits on a throne by himself, and he's like, "But that's another story." That's supposed to be that story, right? How he gets his kingdom, right? Yep. Man, fuck,
I believe so. Yeah. Well, then it was supposed to all be about how it was about how they were going to dethrone him, and I guess they were going to resurrect James Earl Jones.
Resurrect James Earl Jones.
Well. With his character
from Where's My Paycheck?
Well, I mean, if they're going to take Darth Vader's lines, they should take Darth Vader's voice.
For real. Might as well.
Might
as well.
Come on, though.
Right. Oh, do you think they would have had him say it if that's how
Yes.
Yeah, of course they would have.
1,000% do.
He also would have found someone's lack of faith disturbing.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Anyway.
Right. So, it's a bath time. He gets his fortune told. Then he tries to do the fortune teller.
She's like, "I'll do whatever you want because I have to."
Yeah.
He's like, "Nah, what? You don't feel it." She's like, "No, I got it because I have to."
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it works in this land, so let's just do this. And he's like, "I now feel weird."
It's like, get She's out. Like, yeah. Sorry. You killed the royal boner.
You feel weird. I'm about to get done. I don't want to, so I guess we're even. So, yeah. Like, all right, what do you want?
And I was just watching this like, yeah, that's how it is, bro. Mm-hmm. Wait, so no, like, I didn't say that. Sorry.
No, he's like, screw it. You go somewhere else. I feel too weird now. The mood is gone. I'm like,
well, my marriage on is the one a sham. Hand, points for him for not just taking advantage. On the other hand, like, now we've strayed quite far from where Conan started because he never had a problem with that kind of shit.
At all.
No.
Mm.
But they want to make sure that you don't think it's that movie, even though it is.
Excuse me, miss. You didn't let me finish. I asked, will you suck these balls?
Yo, that's a thing now, for real? Like, people really are getting Botox in their balls, yo? Like, yep. for real?
Yeah, it is.
People do a lot of stupid things.
And to hear the lamentation of the women, as long as they agree to it in written consent.
I mean, the thing is, like, you know, once you get to a certain age, you're not using those things.
Dangling in the water when you sit.
Seven. You don't need. I mean, just.
So he decides because of this, he's going to
let it be known we'd rather talk about balls than this movie. Granted, that's true of about 75% of the movies we watch. But it certainly is true here.
So he decides to let all the slaves free, but he's told because of the stone tablets that Moses brought them or whatever that they can't. But he still kind of just goes around the neighborhood and he's like doing good to the community or something. He finds this one guy that's about to be killed for
being sort of Asian looking.
Yeah, sure. Treason of some kind or whatever. Heresy.
Not having fish eyes and the skin of a sweaty pinkish cheese.
Wow.
Are you calling him, are you calling all of them Stallone cuts?
Yeah, they're walking Stallone cuts.
They sure are.
Is that all British people?
Yeah. How about this movie?
So
I'm talking about this movie.
He lets this gentleman free. He's a monk from some kind of order. And now he's doing his thing. Wherever he says,
worship whatever gods you want.
Yeah.
That's what I'm letting happen in my place. Mm-hmm. Y'all do what you want. I don't care.
Or does the stone say that too? So that's illegal?
Yeah, he's Rufio.
So it's the poor man's Rufio. He goes back. He tries hitting on the fortune teller again, but she's still like, I'm not doing anything because I don't want to do things. He's like, damn it.
I'm free to choose now, so no.
Yeah, I keep giving you things. When were you going to choose me? And she's like, no.
I was nice to you for 2 days. Let me in it.
Hey, this movie ain't dumb enough. It's like, so let's have this secret evil meeting between the general, Discount Einan, now we introduce Melty Face and Beast Man.
Before that, a quick side note, their one real attempt is when he's getting crowned, they have like some people try and assassinate him by just running at him, screaming at the top of their lungs with a sword in their hand.
Yeah. Can't you have a mofo with a bow?
Yeah, or something.
Actually, you know what? I don't think anybody had bows in this movie.
No, there was one.
There was one?
In that scene, literally right after he saves himself from being shot, in the background, when they're showing another person, there's a guy stringing a bow. And I was like, why didn't he just shoot him? Like, why didn't he just shoot him? Like,
what? He brought it from home.
or poison him, or, I don't know, get closer to him and then stab him quietly without just screaming and running at him straight forward.
Like, the guy has no friends here. Sorry, no family here, no friends here, no armies with him. He's by himself. Literally, when he goes to sleep, just kill him. That's all you gotta do. That's it. Just kill him.
This is one of those whores.
Yeah, we've already proven the guards will just stand by while their king is slaughtered. Yeah, just let's just go for
it. Do like they did to Caligula. Just make sure the guards that are loyal to you are shift that day.
They did a lot of things to Caligula.
Well, Caligula did a lot of things to them, but they basically just made sure the guards that were loyal to the conspirators were all the guards protecting him that day, and he showed up to court, and they just stabbed him to death.
Yeah, or just Caesar style, just like, hey, how's it going? By the way, here's the knife in your back. All right.
See, the Romans, they knew how to betray their sovereign.
Yeah. But anyway, so after that one failed attempt at a shitty assassination, they decided to turn to the dark gods. And
real quick, too. Like, real quick.
This guy you were referring to as Melty Face. He's Skeletor here in our scenario.
Let's talk about Beast Man.
And he's got Beast Man with him.
I would say at least 50% of the people in the room were just like really? Like, that's what you went with?
So, so imagine, if you will, you're walking into a Spooktown Halloween USA store. All open all over the country at this point. You pick a pretty decent mask. You look at the price tag and say, that's too much. You go home and you try and make it yourself at a popsicle sticks and nutmeg. That's about what we're looking at here. That's about what we're talking about.
This thing looked like the monster from Big Trouble in Little China mixed with the guys with the big giant forearms in Beastmaster. like if they had like a mutant baby, that's what like the this thing's mask was like. It was that bad.
It was like 70% less dominatrix outfit.
No, like it was the same coloration as the monster from Big Trouble, but like the same shitty like eye connect. Like you can tell it was a mask.
I mean,
like,
and
well, that's a, we brought up earlier amongst us Ron Perlman. It's kind of like when Ron Perlman was in Quest for Fire as the Neanderthal. They took that mask after they removed it from him, let it sit there for like the 20 years till they made this movie, and then put it on someone else.
That might be more accurate. You are correct.
And this thing's eyes the whole time are just like, kill me!
Yeah. <for real. laughs>
I mean, it's like, to give you a better idea, if you live in the Midwest, it's like if you went to a 24-hour Walmart and just waited for one of those customers that come in at like 2:30 in the morning to come in and just shed their skin like a snake, and then you put it on your face. That's yeah.
At 2:30, that's when you get the customers that molt.
that's good stuff.
And yeah. As Joe started to bring up, his eyes, much like those customers, scream, "Dear God, help me! It took 5 hours to look like hot dog shit." Anyway. So what were we talking about now?
I don't know.
Oh, so these like, check it out. You know, I got this evil thing we can do to kill
You got a king you don't like, and you seem to be really bad at killing him, so let's raise Satan.
Yeah, so yeah. They have this mummy carved out of wood, and they're like, hey, let's set its face on fire. And so they go over to a Windows 95 screensaver of fire, and they put a dagger, I guess, yeah, into the fire, and then put the fire in the mouth of this thing, and Tia Carrera pops out.
You get a Tia Carrera.
I wish that's
redheaded
how it
worked. Tia Carrera.
Well, I mean, the wig was redheaded. Yeah.
It was a red wig. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This wig. Because
she's
God.
Kissed by fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is. Yeah. They she's made of fire.
She's
yeah.
the mother of dragons.
She is.
And she heals this dude's burnt up face.
Yeah. She's, essentially touching him and healing him all over. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Beastman is just on his own. Like, I don't know if he used to be a person, but
he's unimportant till later.
Yeah, I guess.
He's unimportant, Rob.
Until he gets Rancored.
Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. Trapjaw.
So.
Or Triclops.
I want Clawful.
Yeah.
Whiplash. Come on.
Tia immediately attacks Cole through his boner.
Yeah, so she gets presented to him as the niece of one of the people in the
King Einan, I believe.
Yeah, like his niece or whatever. And so Cole's trying to find a queen. So she's like girl number three or number two. He looks at, and she like seduces him with some magic and shit. And like, meanwhile, card reader girl's like, she's like, this don't seem right. I don't like how
jump cut to a wedding.
Yep, they're married.
Like, I'm pretty sure that happened in one day.
The same day, yeah.
Yeah,
they're even joking about it. Like someone's like, I hope your wedding night lasts longer than your courtship.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't.
Well, I don't know. Not according to Miss Guerrero.
But like, there's a few points later on where we have that thing about like, we won't let the name of Cole die in vain or whatever. It's like, he reigned for like a week. What are you talking about?
But yeah, so well, like,
he seems to be the only king that's given a fuck in a long time.
I guess, sure.
So we cut to them being married, cut to them fucking, and like,
oh well, Serana, she's like, oh, I drew the death card from my deck. You know, that costs a lot of black mana. And
apparently, Kevin Sorbo here, like, bruises like a Georgia peach because she just scratches an arm open. She's trying
and
to
Cole's
stop
like, get out of here. I like this girl now.
Yeah. But so, well, just after they finish, she spits, I believe you referred to this as a snowball into his mouth. That knocks him out.
Now, by just everything in this movie is set to butt metal. Except like this scene of them porking is set to just like war drums.
well, I mean that's how I usually
prefer. Yeah.
Yeah, gotta keep the beat.
It's better, but still not quite right. Yeah, and then she spits fire in his mouth.
My dialogue. Yeah. My dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're too close.
So he is now presumed dead. And everybody's like, oh no, the king's dead. What are we going to do? We got to find, you know, the successor. She takes over as queen. Mm-hmm. We find out that she did not, in fact, kill him. She faked it because apparently his dick is just too good.
And blame that shit on Zarana.
Yes. Yeah, they're like, he must have been poisoned by the scratch.
But, like, I like how, like, the, in the scene where she starts screaming, so everyone mm-hmm. runs in, and, like, her plan stopped there. She didn't, about, like, how do I make it so it's not me that killed him? Wait a minute. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, the scratches. Mm. Oh, okay.
She looked for real, like, panicked.
Yeah. Even then, they were like,
thank God that woman scratched.
The wine was poisoned, and she's like, no, I drank that. And it's like, why'd you just poke a hole in your own story? Also, her scream is like this horrible demonic wail.
Yeah. She was like, wait, fuck. Someone goes, only two of you are in here. And she was like, fuck.
For, you know, an all-powerful demon god, she did not really think this through.
So, yeah. So now, we got Kull's in a dungeon. He's presumably being prepared to be buried, but that's a different body. Kull's locked in a dungeon, and basically this Tia Carrera comes up to him and is like, yeah, you hit that shit real good, Trigger. So... I'll give you eternal life.
Yeah, I know I'm an immortal demon god, but, like, I need some of that. So, yeah, I'm keeping you around.
Like, we're not joking either. That's the sad part about it. Like, that's her only motivation for, like, keeping him alive right now.
Yeah, her actual line is, I was going to kill you, but after last night.
And he's not even like, all right, I'll play along with this for now to get out. He's just like, no, thanks. I'll just die.
And he does. He literally says that. Yep. I'll just die.
He's just a real hit it and quit it kind of guy. Mm-hmm.
So they send Beastman after him. He bites through his chains, and now he's freed. So they're having a tussle.
Yeah, I was writing something. How did that even happen? How do you just oops and bite the chains?
When you're as ugly mm-hmm. as that particular creature.
Kull is not badass. Everyone else in the movie just sucks.
Yeah, and that's pretty much
I think the real thing is, like, when you're trying to bite rapidly, but you can't see through the shitty rubber mask, you end up getting chains in your mouth.
Fair enough.
Which makes their night even more funny, because he's not badass. Everyone else just sucks. So she was like, I mean, everyone else sucks, so I guess you're it.
She was like, you know, I'll let you live as long as you, you know, continue to do that.
You got inside before, man, so.
And he's like, no, thanks. I got to get out of here before you realize I give you herpes.
Oh, no, she burned him.
Well, it's going to burn when you pee.
It's a two-way burn.
It's only a damn way.
Wait, you gave me herpes? I gave you crabs. Oh, that's awesome.
He don't give her herpes until the end.
He fights this beast man in a shitty battle, and he goes to choke him with a chain. The beast man's like, I can bite through those. So he's like, all right, I'll choke you with a rope. Beast man's like, shit.
Like, so terrible.
I hope you can't chew through that.
Yeah, so I don't understand how that one worked at all. I mean, I get the ideas more, I guess, that's around his neck rather than in his mouth. But I don't know why that
maybe
didn't work.
Maybe, armor piercing only for metal and not for rope. So, like,
organic material is my one weakness.
Yeah. Look, if Doctor Who can't, if his screwdriver can't affect wood, then, you know.
I thought it could. Didn't we see that in Heavyweights?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
So, anyway.
So this guy gets choked out. Cole here is free now. I do appreciate we're having a simultaneous execution of Card Reader Lady.
Yes.
And the death or funeral of the king, because they're just setting them all
on
fire.
They don't have much of a budget for this movie. They gotta
burn
them both
at
once.
That's efficiency. I appreciate that.
This movie has at least twice the budget. We're gonna Hercules, the legendary journey.
Yeah, but we're gonna burn a king's body and a witch all in once. That's efficiency.
Well, poetically, it lets him kill her.
Say we're going to Burger King.
So Sam Raimi and his brother could have done better than what? Sorry.
Always.
What? Okay.
Jocksaw could have been the guy in the Beast Mask.
Let's all watch Spider-Man 3. We'll see how y'all feel about that.
Spider-Man 3 or Mantis, Rob? Which one do you think is better?
I don't know. I haven't seen Mantis.
I like Mantis.
I'm sure you liked Mantis.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we're going to sneak out here on a camel. Yeah. And get the requisite pee and fart joke.
Yep. He's strapped to the bottom of a camel, so he gets peed on. Call of the Conqueror gets peed on by a camel. Mm-hmm. And that's the review for this movie.
Now, one thing I didn't get, I kind of got it, but not really. So once he's like, oh, I'm not dead, couldn't he have been like, hey, I'm not dead in front of everyone?
You would think so.
Yeah, they kind of try that, but the general sheriff of Nottingham is just like, no, he's a liar. Don't trust him. Yeah, but I guess that's just enough.
But he waited until it was him and like six of his guards.
Yeah, that's after they came all the way back, right?
Yeah, he could have done that in front of the entire kingdom.
Like, yeah, I don't know why he didn't whip that helmet off immediately.
And like, she tried to kill me. And like,
yeah. I don't know.
So basically, yeah, he sneaks in to
be. You wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah, to be put on.
Good. Sorry.
It's debatable whether we do or not now.
Yeah. He sneaks back in to disguise himself as his own corpse. And then just when he's about to be burned, he flips up and starts fighting. And he's like, crank up the metal. We have to have a battle scene.
How'd I get burned?
He rescues Serana.
They make their way through some. Passages. They set this I don't think it's the throne room. It's some kind of other room, but they set it on fire by knocking over these candles. But like the whole thing starts burning down, but it's all stone. Mm-hmm. What is catching on fire?
The styrofoam. Mm.
Okay. So that would explain this cheap looking wall that they go through.
All the methane they were inhaling this entire production process.
the spray paint that they used.
So they get out. They're escaping now. They believe they need to find the breath of
Valda.
Valderrama.
I'm sorry, Volca.
Valderrama. Valderrama.
The breath of the wilds.
The breath of the wild. They need to find the breath of the wild, which no man's been able to find so far.
Was it the ocarina? Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get into a lot of that. Mm. We have the moon from Majora's Mask is coming down on the town with a scary demon face.
Don't try to skip over this scene though, because this I think had the strongest reaction for the whole group. Because before they find out what the actual plot of the movie is, there's a scene between demon witch lady and general guy, where general guy's like, I'm supposed to be king. You were supposed to have killed him. Those are the terms of our deal, of our pact. And what's her response to that?
I've altered the terms of our pact. Pray do not alter it any further.
No.
But the way she says it, literally, because
she's like, doing a James Earl Jones impression.
It's blatant.
It's so bad.
Like, she practiced to make it as blatant as it was.
But the best part is thinking to yourself, so what if in Star Wars, Darth Vader changed the terms because somebody just gave him such a good dicking?
To be fair, we're not. Do we fully know his intentions and why he's after Han Solo?
Alderaan shall live. You've porked me into submission. Also, you're my daughter.
Okay.
Yep. Awkward.
Turned into Old Boy for a second.
No.
I've not seen that. I heard it's good. I heard I should watch it.
It's good. It's the most messed up thing ever.
Really? Wait, are you talking about which one are you talking about?
Both. Okay. Either or.
The Japanese one is better, but they're both on the screen. Yeah. I'm sorry. My mistake.
Yeah.
But
they're both basically the aristocrats joke.
The aristocrats!
Either way. Moving forward.
I'm sorry, I'm still caught on thinking that maybe Anakin Skywalker and Chewbacca had a thing. So Harvey Fierstein.
That was only your thought.
I know.
Only one of that thought.
Well, Rob brought up the, because it was, he got such a good dicking, so.
Alright, we gotta go get magic breath. We got things to do. Alright. So we're on Juba.
How do we... So now we know we need to go to Jabba the Hutt's palace, is where we find Harvey Fierstein.
Juba wasn't a hut. He wasn't a hut.
Oh my god.
I disagree.
You disagree? He wasn't in a hut?
Well, I mean, what constitutes a hut?
So,
he's just being a big fat green lizard? Because if that's the case, yeah, he totally.
No, he was in a hut.
He was in a hut.
Like the building he was in.
He was actually in a hut.
Was a hut. Look, my backpack's got jets.
I'm Boba the Fett.
Anyway.
So, so yeah, he's like, we need to get a boat so we can do some sailing. I know a guy. I'm bringing on Harvey Firestein, who's just doing his thing. It's Harvey Firestein, everybody. He's a real ladies' man. Right?
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
What?
I don't know.
So I guess Carl knows him from something in the past, in some other book, some other movie that we didn't see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what?
Well, because he used to be a pirate.
Yeah, from the implications, like, I think that dude was, like, part of the boat that Carl was on when he was captured and put into slavery.
I believe so.
Yes.
Because he makes some side comment later, like, about how, you know, Carl should be used to rowing the boat and stuff like that.
If I had to hazard a guess, I think he was the person Carl put in charge when Carl decided, I don't want to be a pirate anymore. I want to go off and join the Dragon Legion. That would be my guess.
Seems all right. Take my boat. I want to be a real boy. So anyway, he convinces him to go with them for some reason. I don't even know what the deal is.
Because he doesn't trust him. And he's not going to let him, you know, go without him.
Trust him to do what? Just let him leave?
And
okay.
What was Juba's excuse to try to get out of going on this journey?
I don't like the smell of fish. It's the Sabbath. Bring on the martinis.
For those of you who are not aware.
Guess which one of these was not actually a line in the movie.
Harvey Firestein, he's the gay guy from Independence Day and the gay guy from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Whoa. There's no indication that he was gay in Independence Day.
He's correct.
He was never billed as gay, I suppose. But, you know, that's... Who's the guy who directed Independence Day? That was...
the gay guy from Godzilla.
The gay guy from Godzilla. Yeah. He was like, this is going to be the gay guy.
Yeah, he's into stereotypes enough. I'm sure that was the thought in his head. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Welcome to Earth.
I thought he was just trying to front load the cast with a bunch of very different Jews.
Also that.
So, we get on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
We're off to sail to somewhere. Do we even know how they know where?
They say it. Everyone knows that's the way you have to go to find the breath or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
People go there all the time and get frozen to death.
Yeah.
Even though no one's ever come back. So, all right, why not?
It's from that movie that we never saw. That's
what it is. Okay, but this is the thing. Okay. No one's ever...
always the reference. The movie that we never saw.
Yeah. No, but... All right, this is a thing that no one has ever found. No one, anyone that's going off searching for it has never been able to come back or whatever. So, but we all know exactly where they all headed. So why doesn't anyone think, well, maybe it's not there, or we should try somewhere else?
No, because like they know where it is. They're just like, oh, that's like a tourist trap. You know, don't stop there.
Yeah.
Okay.
They know to just keep going.
If you had played any of the Jack and Daxter games, you would have understood all this.
Oh, okay.
Secret prequel.
So,
gotcha.
The Red Witch here, her coping strategies to problems are a little questionable because she sees that they're going for the breath of Volka. She's like, General, comes up, takes him over, makes out with him. And is like, go kill him. I'll blow on your sails.
If you know what I mean.
Woo-hoo, yeah.
I mean, in all fairness, though.
Yeah.
That's how she got called to begin with. She put a spell on him through kissing him.
Yep.
That's how Harvey Firestein got called, too.
Mm-hmm. It brings up a lot more questions with me, though. Like, if you can control the wind like that, can't you just send them off course so they don't get to the cave?
You just go...
Yeah.
Suck something. Them back to the
Or
port.
For that matter, you're the Witch of Fire. Can't you just set the boat on fire and see how that works
out?
Maybe
she has to have a proxy there. That's why she had to kiss him first to be able to send this thing.
She can't do it from that far away.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Like, we don't know.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. There's no fucking explanation. There's no rules to her power. I can't follow this.
So now he's on the boat to this place. Juba's like, hey, let's eat. And Cole's like, how about you eat? I don't trust your ass. He's like, come on, Cole. You know me. We go way back. I would never poison you. That's not how I do. I don't poison people. And Cole's like, eat it. So he eats the food. And he's like, oh, I'm all right. He's like, well, drink this wine, too. He's like, okay. Drinks the wine. Everything seems fine. Mm-hmm. Seems fine.
For a while. Then they all pass out.
I hope you like my roofie colada.
Like, legit, that's what it was.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't poison you, I just drugged you.
Yeah. It's not poison, it's just drugged.
Eat the jello pudding.
Oh. You're just going to have a small headache, and now you can row my boat.
So that's basically it. That's the plan.
That's it.
Yeah. I gave you a bunch of hickeys. Guess where? You'll find them.
He was like, no, we're going to sell you.
Gentlemen, we skipped the critical.
No, we didn't.
Pull the sea monster on the boat, have it vomit on Serana so she could vomit scene.
Yeah.
It needed to be in the film. It was essential.
That was their monster budget.
It was a sea monster like from Monty Python's. So it like
one of a lot cut, of this seems to be from monsters. It was like a sea monster from the Star Wars prequels.
It did, actually. Soul of Heart?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to soldier through, guys.
Right into the fan.
Yep. So
now he calls captured by Juba and his crew.
Cole and Rufio are both tied up, and they have to row this boat. Catherine Zeta Jumes, or whatever we want to call
Zeta them. Serana.
Sure. She's going to be sold off as a slave again to somebody else. She's dressed up like it's like My Fair Lady, but the Dr. Seuss version. That's what I would call it.
That's fair.
It's just like she's got this weird sun hat, but they've like cut the ends of it into ribbons and then put them in little bows like they're pigtails. And it's just friggin' weird.
She looks dumb. Yeah.
She does. She's not going.
Everything in this movie looks dumb. Like nothing looks cool in this movie at all.
Yeah. She's not really obeying. She's trying to kill them. So they're like, well, we're just going to hang you from a rope and dunk you in the water a few times because that's the thing we do,
I
guess.
This makes Call real mad. He's like, yo, I'm Hercules. I'll break these chains.
Call, you can't get out of those ropes. They're too strong.
He's like, fuck your boat then.
Yeah.
He breaks his boat. Like.
Yeah, it just rips a plank off the boat.
Now, I would have liked it if there was more of him just beating the shit out of someone with a board tied to his wrist for a while.
Yeah, why not? Damn it.
But no, he pretty much just immediately gets out of that.
Yeah.
Lame fight on the ship, except for the one shipmaster guy.
The General Kale dude.
Yeah.
Pat Roach.
He was badass. He was like, fuck you, I'll take you. Get hit with a plank. I don't give a fuck. Like, kick me in the throat. I don't care. I'm fucking badass.
Mm-hmm.
But even he gets thrown over the side. I think she's hanging off the side of the boat or in the water now with the rope and she throws it around his neck.
I think Pat Roach has it in all of his contracts that he doesn't get to sell the hero's like first five or six moves. I'm just not going to do anything when he does it.
Yeah, that's fair. So they eventually get this boat. They're like, well, now we're going to sail and we set all these slaves free, although it's still going to make them row, so I guess not really.
But now it's because they want to, right? Not because they have to.
Sure.
They're going to make them row in the way that if they don't row, they're just going to be sitting in the middle of the ocean.
And I guess make them die when we get to this cave because they want to.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because they're...
I mean, they don't show them all die.
They died free men,
Tony. They show a lot of them dead.
That's right.
But I mean, they don't show them, like, in the act of dying, like, yeah. you know, they might show them dead, but they don't show them die. They're off screen when they die.
Fair. So we get to this cave. It's the Frozen Cave of Wonders.
It's a Final Fantasy puzzle.
Yeah, we see there's, once you step through this threshold, you freeze instantly as if it's the day after tomorrow. And there's a bunch of dudes that are in there and they're all frozen. So he's like, oh, I don't understand what's going on here. They read some placard on the side that says something about, like, the way it came is the way it needs to go or something. I don't know. So she realizes, because she does some card reading as well, that it's the praying maiden or something. And like, oh, is there saying, because it's a woman causing this, a woman has to stop it. So I have to be the one to go there and I have to get undressed for some reason.
Yeah, I don't really get that. She just takes her top off. But yeah,
just to do it.
But we don't see any of it.
PG-13. Yeah.
Yeah, is it?
It's got to be. There's no blood.
That's true.
Yeah, it is PG-13. And that's the other thing. I kind of wonder if that wasn't just a, like, let's get the shot of the tits now, and then we can decide later if we want to cut it out and make this PG-13 or, you know, put in the fake blood effects and make this an R.
There is no blood in the whole entire movie.
Nope.
Not really, no. Yeah. People get, like, scratches and bruises. That's basically it.
No blood.
Huh. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, so she's naked from the, you know, the waist up, and...
But not for us.
Yeah, she's just showing Valda the goods.
And so the statue Volca was, like, blowing all this, like...
Yeah, it's a giant Olmec head.
White mist out of its mouth.
It's trying to get her nips hard.
Yeah. And it's just going, blood. She gets on her knees in front of it with her arms wide, like, yeah. And then, like...
She goes, I swallow, and he goes, good.
Legit, that's what happens. Yeah, like, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
I'm not being crass.
He gives her a good frosting.
Yeah, she now, as Rob pointed out, becomes Elsa. She can, you know, freeze everything.
Her hair turns white.
Wow, yeah. I really would have appreciated this more if I was wearing the fucking winter coat I had when I came in here.
Yeah, still don't get why she had to be naked for that, or topless for that.
Because, like, it looks like she's frozen to death. It's like, you know, you should probably have that coat on. But anyway, so the general shows up, and he's like, we're fighting again for, like, the 10th time.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm now she's got the breath of the wild, I'm gonna take her. And Cole's like, no, you're not. And he's like, yes, I am. And just kind of trips him. And he's like, oh, and I guess that works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cole's a cave in. Now you're trapped here. Like, see you later.
My complaint for the scene, and I say it during the scene too, is that so this, the way it's set up is you see all these like people that are now statues because they're frozen solid. I hope Rob cracked his pants. But like, because they're frozen solid, but they're in various areas of the room, like somewhat close up to the head. And I'm like, so that should mean that the ones closer are cooler, so they should have cooler stuff. So in this fight, he should grab something cool from them and win the fight. Doesn't happen. He grabs a regular ass axe off the closest guy, and like, there's nothing really happens. Like,
well, rumor has it.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't in the movie. Doesn't matter.
This is true. But
rumor has it he sprouted wings and flew back.
No, rumor has it, and I suspect this is true because if you notice at one point when he gets knocked down, he looks up.
He gets back up.
You're never going to keep him down.
A camel was pissing the night away, that's for sure.
No, but he looks weirdly up at one of the statues, one of these people, I should say, the one that he later goes to and gets his axe from. And rumor has it that was supposed to be his father. Not that it amounts to anything because it's not in the movie and whatever. But, yeah, that would have been a cooler thing. Or if this axe was better, had some, I don't know, thing it did. But anyway.
The sword from Conan.
He's trying. Oh, yeah.
At least that.
Something.
Like, I thought when the movie starts with this, when they're fighting and he's like, use an axe. Axes are dumb. Use a sword. And it's a man's weapon. Whatever. That would have been cool if he had Conan's sword at the end of the weapon, end of the movie. Yeah. But no.
Well, no, because you got to do the, you know, I use an axe because I'm a barbarian. And
so was Conan.
Yeah.
It's the name of the damn movie.
Also, we forgot to mention though, Rufio gets stabbed, so he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Which I love, like, it's so just like he's dying, but Cole is too busy trying to claw his way out of this thing, and it's just kind of like, you could save me, you do something. And I just felt it was kind of funny because he just left him.
You know, the cold will help me not bleed as much. Like,
yeah. Like, to the point where, like, he comes over and he, like, closes his eyes. I expect him to open his eyes again and be like, I'm not dead yet. Just like, shh. Quiet.
Stabs him again.
Yeah, so he gets the axe.
He was drowned anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he gets the yeah, it's true. He gets the axe. He's pissed at Olmec, so he starts chopping at his face. He starts crying. He realizes water behind him, so he smashes his way through. Presumably, he drowns and dies. And freezes to death in the process. Whichever comes first, I'm not sure. Ask Leonardo DiCaprio or something.
There was room for him on that. Never mind. I'm not even getting into that shit.
Mythbusters proved it.
Not the time.
No room on that plot for him.
Yeah. So, we see we get like 5 minutes of black for no reason. And then we see he just kind of comes out of the water in that cave where everybody that he was friends with or whatever died. His ship's on fire. It's burning. It looks like a very dire situation for him. But it doesn't mean anything because he immediately gets home on a boat somehow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking whatever. While this is happening,
yeah,
King Einan.
Yeah,
God. I forgot about this.
Oh, this is the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. He throws a little hissy fit because he's like, listen, I brought you here. We resurrected you so I could be king. What the hell? This is not how I planned this at all. And he's bitching and moaning like, you know what? I'm done with you. He tries to stab her. She catches the knife in her cleavage. She's just like, whatever.
Well, all right. I think that's maybe misleading. Yeah,
he stabs her in her sternum.
She gets stabbed. She doesn't like catch it like Jessica Rabbit, just like between her breasts.
I saw what I wanted to see.
That'd be a hell of a disarm.
Nice booby trap.
No, yeah, she pulls it out and like it just flames for a minute and heals. And then she's like, you know what? I'm done with you.
taps him on the head, which sets like a little burn mark into his brain.
Suddenly, yeah, everything she touches like lights on fire, unless she doesn't want it to.
Suddenly, this becomes like a 70s like car chase movie.
Yeah, he falls out of a window.
He falls backwards, screaming out this window.
And suddenly, it cuts to a flaming Barbie doll full of M80s falling out of this window, like Toons is the driving cat.
And he explodes like every car that careens off a cliff.
Yeah, like a Simpsons car.
Yeah. He just explodes. It's amazing. I love this. So Sheriff Nottingham shows up and he's like, well, you know, I'm pissed about that shit too, but I'm smart enough that I brought the frozen girl and I'm going to take you down. But that's when Cole shows up.
Well, at this point, she's also climbed into the flames and is like just tumbling around in them.
Oh, right.
Here's what I don't get. This scene confused me because when he put part of the thing that we haven't mentioned is when she gets near fire now, the fire goes out.
Mm.
So he puts the girl, he's like, do your thing, shoves her into the fire. And the monster lady, she goes to touch her and she can't because she's cold. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It doesn't work. So it looks like his plan's working. Mm-hmm. Like, she's being weakened by her being there. And then, like, Cole shows up. He's like, hey, get out of that fire.
Yeah.
And then he takes her out of the fire, and the chick's strong again.
Couldn't he just beat her in general, like, hey, dude, wait, like, 5 minutes. Then we'll fight it out. Like, we'll settle this. Let's just kill her.
Well, I mean, she starts turning into Brundle Carrera.
Yeah.
Like she's starting to get all like, okay, because at this point we're getting like a lunar eclipse suddenly happening.
Oh, there's been a shitty CGI demon head in the moon the whole time.
Yeah,
it was a solar eclipse.
Solar eclipse. Yeah,
as we all know from this year, doesn't look like how they showed it.
Sorry. I'd rather stare at the solar eclipse than that thing.
she's getting off on this basically and starts morphing into this thing. Like, we see at one point she points a nasty finger at somebody and it like bursts into a demon finger, claw, hoof thing.
I don't think that was getting off. I think that was more of she was supposed to be in pain, but Tia Carrera can't really act.
Yeah. Oh. And her acting ability at this point has digressed to Rita Repulsa. At one point, I did just yell, make my monster grow.
Because she's like, she sees Cole shows up and she's like, no! And just shoots like a wall of fire around this like island, which he just goes, oh, I could just jump over that. Mm. And that's how it's solved.
But she starts to morph into this monster thing.
Yeah.
And like, it looks like if you take an alien from the movie Aliens, make it really, really shitty, right? And and mix it with the bad guy in Golden Child, like that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I would argue.
Add some slime to its mouth.
I would argue, like you said, shitty alien. Just it's the hybrid alien from the fourth one.
Yeah,
was it?
The Joss Whedon one.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Oh. It's good. Dope.
I wouldn't say it's that. Like, for
those it looks
of you
kinda like that.
Uninitiated at home. It's like if Mr. Burns was doing an alien cosplay.
You know what it looks like? It's this is a stretch. I bet no one knows this is from. I'm saying anyway. There's a movie with a closet monster that gets beat by the good guys. He has nice eyes. And every time it looks in his eyes, it freezes. It like gets lost in his eyes. But that shitty pup monster looks kinda like this with the what's the name of that fucking movie?
Rich,
familiar. What's the name of that movie?
Yo, it freaked me out. Until I saw the end of it, because I hadn't seen the end of it before, so I didn't know how it ended, so I was freaked out. But I finally saw the end, I'm like, oh, that's it? Like, it gets lost in his eyes, and like they shoot it. Like, they close all the closets in the town, one closet left, and like, it like stares him in the face, and like, they shoot it or something like that. And that's the end of the movie.
That's Monsters, Inc. Sorry, kids.
And that's what I had to do, a prequel, not a sequel.
At this point, also, Cull and the General have just another generic ass fight.
Yeah.
And the general, like a dumbass, like they're struggling over control of Cull's axe. So he goes to pull out a dagger, pointing it at his chest the whole time, and Cull just pushes it into his chest.
He pulls this out from his belt, like pulls it directly out so that the butt, what do you want to call that?
The pommel,
yeah, of this blade. Hits him in the stomach, and then he just kind of like, oh, we'll just bear hug you and shove it in your stomach. Yeah. Like, what? Why? What the hell would you think you were doing?
right. So now this priest who's been getting slowly burnt up the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. He's like, hey, guess
now
what?
Now it's my turn.
Yeah, guess what? I am awesome and I'm about to throw some shit around. So he jumps up. He summons this staff. He takes the top of the staff off. And guess what? It's not just a snake on the top. It's a knife. He throws the knife at the guy or at Cole. Cole grabs it. It's like, oh, guess what? It's not just a knife. It's an actual snake. The snake tries to bite him. He's like, no, guess what? I'm going to throw that back at you. It hits him in the mouth and he's just dead. What the hell?
It sucks as much as it sounds.
Like, yeah. It's really horrible. Like, the, you know, I'm going to charge up my weapon and it misfires and explodes my face. Like, so what?
I've already seen the shadow. Thanks.
Nah. So he's dead.
So now it's Rita Repulsa versus Elsa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, because she's on the floor now. And Cole's like, no, I know how to do this. I gotta get some cold blast from you.
I have to kiss both of you. Yeah. That's how this is going to end.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, he...
Well, I mean, it is a showdown, but Elsa just can't hold Hackett.
So what happens is the scene is so stressful, it's so he breaks out around his mouth because of all the stress and stuff.
That's not what happens.
Yeah, she gives him the cold kiss. And we see he's got frosting mouth.
Cold sores.
Yeah.
All right. So let me break
it
down.
It looks like he ate a powdered donut.
Let me break it down so people listening can actually understand.
I got
what's
a picture
happening.
Of it. I'll post it.
So Hercules' girlfriend, who has now become Elsa from Frozen, she's got frozen powers, is sent, you know, is back here. She's the opposite of Rita Repulsa, Tia Carrera. So
covered all this.
They are now in a death battle of Elsa standing in front of Rita Repulsa, both of them on stupid, badly made fire and ice fire, and they find out that they can't actually defeat each other that way. So Hercules has to come over.
Now just hug her. Now smell her a little.
Yes, yeah, Hercules has to come over.
Stroke her hair.
And mouth kiss Elsa. So Elsa hocks up a glob of white goo into Hercules' mouth.
She's not joking.
I'm not joking. And Hercules now full of goo.
He's got some around his lips.
He does have some white goo around his mouth.
Not joking.
Has to go kiss this pumpkin head looking demon monster, Rita Repulsa.
On full the of mouth. Tinier men.
Yeah, on her gross skeleton monster mouth. And also hawk the white glob of goo.
Not joking.
into her mouth. At which point she explodes.
It looks like a snowball.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is how we all get related.
And that's when suddenly the whole film just stops, and that you find out that you've joke's on you. You've been watching a Mentos commercial the whole time.
Refreshment.
Yeah. And no, we just kind of watched the cutscene from the end of Diablo 3, where the demon is just the frozen kiss did me in. And wiggles and shakes until it explodes, and that's the end of the fire, and she's dead.
You know what, though? I think it was the same fire from Golden Child.
It was probably the same fire from Diablo.
But we find out the Sheriff of Nottingham's still around. He tries to do a thing. It doesn't work out. He gets axed in the side, and he's dead.
That's so lame. So lame.
Just so he could get the... That's how barbarian...
Yeah, so now Hercules is officially the king of this, like, two-person kingdom. And all the Ewoks come out and they're dancing around, whatever. And
he smashes the stones that have the laws that say the king has to be an asshole.
Yeah, so now it's anarchy, and he can't get control of anything.
Yeah,
so
he also smashed the entire, like, source of legitimacy for his government.
Right. So ultimately, about 3 months later, he orders a genocide. And kills everyone in the kingdom, and he and his Elsa wife now.
The law of the land now is I'm in charge because I have an axe and I'll kill you.
Correct.
That's
which is,
it.
Which is much better than the rules and regulations that they had put in
but
place.
But again, we're just kind of back to the, you know, like, if anyone wants my throne, they can challenge me. Or come in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping because my guards are all free now. Like, there's no loyalty there. Like, there wasn't much to begin with. So, yeah. It's chaos, but by his axe he rules. And that's Cole the Conqueror from 1997. All right, so RottenTomatoes.com had this with a critic score of 26%.
And an audience score of 24%.
That's tap dancing right on the critical fail list.
That's like lower than Ernest Goes to Camp.
Mm-hmm. That's
really, though?
Well, let's find out what you think about it then, Rob.
Oh, me first?
Why not?
I mean, I didn't like it, but I didn't think it was that terrible. Like, I laughed enough times at this movie that I would almost put it on so bad that it's good. It didn't seem insanely long. I am going to say, no, I don't recommend it just because it is bad, but it's borderline. If you're curious, I'd say go ahead, but otherwise don't.
Okay. Joe.
Oh, I'm going to recommend the shit out of this movie. This is like everything that we rag on the late 90s, early 2000 movies for, just celebrated in the fantasy genre. I had so much fun watching this movie fail at everything it tried to do. Because it goes by quick enough. It doesn't really hurt too much in any of the parts, maybe other than that flagrant ripoff of the Darth Vader line. Other than that, like, I had a good time. This movie sucks. Don't get me wrong. It's a shitty movie, but I enjoyed myself. So, I'm recommending it.
Joe, would you say watch it with friends?
Oh, of course. Okay. Of course.
Brian?
I didn't like this movie. I mean, it's not god-awful, but it's not close to good. It's one that, like, if you never see it, you'll be fine. If you see it, you might be a little worse than you were having never seen it. But, like, it's I cannot in good conscience recommend this one. Like I said, we've seen worse. It's not the worst movie we've ever seen. It's not that bad, but it's like it's don't waste your time. Like it's that kind of movie for me. Like it just wasn't it. And like there's like what Joe said about like being like 90s whatever. That is true. But like a 90s kid, like if I was in the 90s, the things that like the dumb stuff that I would have loved like weren't even in this movie. There were no cool ass weapons or no cool ass blood scenes. Nobody was naked in it.
Are you talking about the 80s?
Yeah, you're talking about the 80s.
Yeah, but kind of,
yeah.
But like in the 90s, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. That's a 90s kid.
I was trying to think back. I'm like, what 90s movie had?
That's what I would have wanted. And it wasn't, none of that was in it. So like I'd recommend you watch Conan.
Okay.
You know what? I'd recommend you watch Red Sonja because you want a bad movie that's worth watching. At least the last time I saw it, which wasn't all that long ago. Like Red Sonja, because it's the plot line is just as wacky, the bad villain is just as dumb, but like it's the better movie to watch.
I'll agree with you on that. Like this movie can't touch Red Sonja in shitty fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna give it a soft recommend because I'm kind of with Joe on this one. Like this is not a good movie by any means, and as you said, like don't waste your time with it. That there's some sense to be had there, but if you have time to waste, like if you're hanging out with friends. Or if you're having a sick day, hangover day, whatever. Like, this is a good thing to throw on and not have to pay a whole lot of attention to. But every time you look at the screen, there's something going on. And it's weird, and it doesn't matter how much you pay attention to it. You're not going to really follow it. So, whatever. You get to see some guy go flying out a window and explode. You get to see some mediocre fights and just wackiness. So, yeah, it's amusing. So, yeah, it's a light recommend for me.
Man, I don't know, man. The more I think about it, like, all those Harvey Firestein scenes, like, were hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
For all the wrong reasons, but they were hilarious. Like, we were laughing.
Like, we made it fun to watch.
Yeah, well, that's what
we're saying. Like, watching in a group.
Yeah, only to it's a good platform to spring off of to make the movie funny.
Yeah, like, if you're sitting down to watch a movie because you want to watch and enjoy a movie, this is not the choice to make.
Like,
but if you just want something in the background or you want to make some fun of something with friends, this is great.
Like, if you want to do your own, like, amateur riff tracks, like, this is, like, a low-hanging fruit that's easy to pick fun at.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what we thought of this movie. What else we got on the docket here, Brian?
So it's time where we roll a die, D20 of Fate, and hope that we get a better movie than this one on the roll. This was my fault, right? So it's Rob's turn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rob, it's your turn to roll, man. Like, do it up. Like, roll well.
Make it do.
Get us out of the 90s. Anyway.
I want to get us out of the 90s so bad.
Try not to land us in the early 2000s. So
killing me inside.
Time travel.
That's a 7.
I thought it was a 1 at first. Oh.
That's a 7.
All right. What are we looking at?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh,
2009.
Oh, no.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Fuck.
It's... You know what? You know what? It's a careful what you wish for.
Is it the copy you had where the special effects weren't added yet?
I will try and get that.
And he was running around with cardboard claws.
I think that was actually better than the real one.
This is the one with fucking Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
The one that started the nonsense of Deadpool.
I did see that one eventually. It took me a long time to see it. Me too.
When Jude Law or something, a Sabretooth. It's something equally bad.
I think it's Rob Lowe, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
alrighty. So, Rob, after that poor rolling, how do you want to follow that up?
I want to follow that up with just an entire day of looping Johnny Cash's I Hung My Head. Beyond that, we want to thank you guys so very much for listening. We are just slam jamming, tracking our way to our 100th episode. I'm excited about that.
Me too. I
think you guys are excited about that. Hopefully we'll have some cool stuff to tell you guys about all that. But in the meantime, I want to thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at 4AM Podcast. You can also contact us with any questions, comments, or stories at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always call in to our Google Voice number at 203-787-8946.
All right. So, we'll see you next time with X-Men Origins Wolverine. Till then,
zink! Deuces.
Yeah, I'm glad you're getting an X-Men movie finally.
Oh, yay. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
It's your fault, Sam.